famous Rashi's famous things in Parshas Yisro. Vayishma Yisro. Yisro heard and he came to Bnei Yisroel. This is a big deal. The Torah is contrasting Yisro and Amalek. They both heard about what? Kriyas Yamsu. And they reacted opposite ways. This is what life's about. Life is about making the good choices. Hashem takes care of everything else. Life is about exercising your free will and making good b'chir u'chavshish choices. Then God sends you messages and you have to respond to them. You have to keep your eyes open and wake up and notice it and then jump in. And sometimes a person in law lane can miss their message. So that's one basic story of Amalek and Yisro. They both heard the same miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Yisro heard the message and became, look what he became. His descendants, everything, he's part of the Jewish people. So keep your eyes open. Somebody asks you to do a chesed, somebody asks you to join a shir, somebody asks you to get involved in something, and you never know. Keep your eyes open. It's a very big deal. Okay, anyway, fine, let's go on. Next, Moshe had two sons. What were their names? Gershom and Eliezer. Gershom and Eliezer. So who was the older one? Gershom. So, Gershom, why was he called Gershom? He ger ha'isi beretz nafuya. I was a ger in Midian. And then, why was Eliezer called Eliezer? Hashem was with me in Paro. Now, which came first? Being saved from Paro or going to Midian? Saved from Paro. So, why did Moshe call his first son Gershom, which related to living in, this is a good question, living in Midian, and his second son was back about Mitzrayim? That's not a bad question. So what does this mean, Gershom? So, Ger Ha'isi Beretz Nachuya. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I was a stranger in the land. Moshe called his son a name to remind himself and his son that he was a stranger in Midian. Moshe was nervous about assimilating too much. So he wanted to remind himself, I'm a stranger here. Moshe, when his sons were born, was an older man. He was about to get the nevuah of the Sneh. And he was a great tzaddik. And he still was nervous about assimilating. So he gave his son a name, I'm a foreigner. So Moshe Feinstein says an amazing pshat. What's more important in life? Succeeding physically or succeeding ruchnius? Succeeding ruchnius. So Moshe was saved from Mitzrayim, physically saved. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, only when Moshe Rabbeinu felt he was already succeeding spiritually in Midian, then he would thank Hashem for succeeding physically in Mitzrayim. Because succeeding physically doesn't mean much unless you take that freedom, physical freedom, and use it for ruchnius. It's an amazing pshat. So Moshe's first son was about ruchnius. Hashem, I have to succeed. And then, when he saw things were going, then, now it turns out, oh, now that I'm succeeding ruchnius, now I'm going to thank you for the succeeding in Mitzrayim physically that I survived. That's an amazing shot. Next, Vayetze Moshe. Yisro comes and Moshe goes out to greet him. Who goes out with Moshe? Yes. Yeah, everyone. Rashi says, Kavod Gadol. This is amazing. Kavod Gadol. A great kavod was done to Yisro. When Moshe went, Aaron and Nadab and Aviv went also. When they went, all of Bnei Yisrael went. So all of Am Yisro to greet Yisro. All of them. Why? Why did Moshe go out to greet Yisro? His father-in-law. So what? So what? Yeah, you're right. No. Correct. Hakaras Hatov. Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law was not Jewish at the time. Moshe's giving shir to all of Am Yisrael. He stops shir and he goes out to greet Yisro, his non-Jewish father-in-law, to show proper kavod. either a karas atov, he used to help them, or just to show proper kavod. So what does Rav Neven Saul say? So that's what he did. This is an example of derech eretz kadma l'torah. The Torah puts, this is a Rav Neven Saul, the Torah puts derech eretz stories in the Torah before matan Torah, to teach you derech eretz kadma l'torah. That before the Torah is given, we see Moshe Rabbeinu's midos. Woo! Very nice. Anyway, here we go. Oh, that's what he said. This story reminds me of, there's a famous story. There's a great gadol. They just came out with a biography about him. Art school. I didn't get it yet, but it's on the list of what I want to get. It's Rav Datzal, Rav Yisrael Gusman. He was a great gadol. He was a dayan in Vilna in his 20s, on the top basin in the world. He was caught in Europe during the Holocaust. He ran away from the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, for a couple of years. He was hiding in the forest. He was eating shrubbery. I mentioned him earlier. Remember, he's the one who would water the grass in the yeshiva? Remember we discussed that? Yes. He would water the flowers in the yeshiva. Why would he water the flowers? He was expressing a curse of soul that these caves kept him alive. It was the vegetation which kept him alive when he was running away from the Nazis. He would eat grass and he would eat shrubbery to survive. So just like Moshe, who else did that? Moshe had a karas atov to what? The water and the dirt. So Moshe didn't do those makas. So he had a karas atov. Gusman, one time the boys caught him. He was cleaning up the Beis Medrash before Shabbos by himself, you know, putting the books away. One version has he was cleaning the bathrooms, you know, putting tissues in the bathrooms. He said, Rebbe, it's beneath your kavod to do this. Why are you doing this for? He said, when I was in my 20s, I came in, I was late once coming to a meeting with the basin of Vilna. There were people there waiting. And the Chabad Chaim was visiting. So when I walked in, Reb Chaim Ozer, the Gadol Ador, stood up for me when I walked in. I was in my 20s. He was the Gadol Ador. And the Chabad Chaim was visiting. When Reb Chaim Ozer stood up, he stood up. And when he stood up, the whole room stood up. For me, in my 20s. And he said, that's enough kavod for a lifetime. And I'll put the books away myself, and I'll put the tissues in the bathroom. That's humility, guys. Very good. Anyways, that's like this. So all of Am Yisrael went out to greet Yisro, the non-Jewish father-in-law, on Karas HaTov and proper midos. Next, this you have to know. There are certain things every Jew has to know. Vahini Macharas. The next day, Moshe judged the people. Right, Moshe comes. What do you mean next day? Next day from when? What does Rashi say? Anyone know? Next day from Yom Kippur. When did Moshe bring the second Luchos down? What? Yom Kippur. So let's get clarity here. Parshas Yisro is talking about Matan Torah. There's a huge, gigantic machlokas whether it's in order or not. Some say Yisro came after Matan Torah, and the whole parrot's out of order. And some say he came before Matan Torah, and the parrot's in order. So Rashi here is assuming that this part of the parrot is out of order. It says the day after Yom Kippur. So Moshe, you have to get clarity. The first, when was Matan Torah? When was Torah? What was the date? Shavuos, what was the date? Vav Sivan, it's a machokas. Well, it's a machokas. We're going to get there. It's a machokas. The original Matan Torah was a machokas Vav Sivan or Zayin Sivan. It was on Shabbos. There's a machokas. That week was Rosh Chodesh Sunday or was it Monday? That's a machokas.
Can we go back to check if we know it's on Shabbos? Can we just
Good question. But that back then they used to do the new months, Kiddush HaChodesh, based on the Adim. So we don't know what the new months were. It wasn't a calendar all the way back. Then Moshe comes down with the first Luchos. Klei to Egel was on Yud Zion Tammuz, 40 days later. Shabbat Shabbat Tammuz. He goes back up on Yud Ches Tammuz to Davin for 40 days. He comes down on Kuf Tes Av to get the stone for the Luchos. He goes back up on Rosh Chodesh Elul, stays for 40 days, and comes down with Zev Luchos. So Yom Kippur is considered a day of... That sounds interesting. That sounds interesting. Okay, so Yom Kippur is a day of...
I know what you could say. We know what's coming. Just keep quiet.
Now, Yom Kippur is a day of Matan Torah. Is that clear? That's a big topic.
All right.
Clear? Yom Kippur is a day of Matan Torah.
That was the last time Moshe came down. Why should that be Shavuos, no?
That's funny question.
It's a good question. Because the real Matan Torah is when Hashem spoke to all of us. What we call Matan Torah Shavuos, that's when God opened the skies and Hashem spoke, and all of Am Yisrael heard Hashem speak at the same time, and Moshe, and he said Moshe is the Navi, and that was the Ma'amad that we remember forever. We blew it, and we didn't keep that because of Chet Ego, we ruined that a little bit.
So we got the final Luchos on Yom Kippur?
Correct. The final Luchos came down on Yom Kippur. That's what it says here. Moshe came down. Macharosa Rito Minhar. Moshe came down on Yom Kippur. Don't forget that. It's the day of Matan Torah. Okay. Let's continue. Famous. Kosomar Lebeis Yaakov. Right before Matan Torah. Vesagid Ibn Israel. This is the instruction to Matan Torah. Hashem says to Moshe, speak to the Beis Yaakov and to the Bnei Yisrael. So what does Rashi say? Who is Beis Yaakov? No. Who is Beis Yaakov? The women. And Bnei Yisrael are the men. How come Beis Yaakov schools are called Beis Yaakovs? Because of this Rashi. Beis Yaakov is Elu Hanashim. And Bnei Yisrael are the men. Where does he get it from? It says Somar. Somar, in Hebrew, there are three words for speaking. Daber. Daber means strong. Amar means soft. And Haged can be sometimes soft, sometimes strong. Sometimes soft, sometimes strong. So Rav Rashi says, to the men, you speak strong. And to the women, you speak softer. That's Kosomar, Lebeis Yaakov. That's from the Medrash. That's what he says. Egon Ashim. Tomer Lehen Belashen Raka. Speaks to them with a soft, gentle language. Tesagid Ibn Israel. Speaks to them with the harsh language. Onashim Vidukim Lizachar. So who's first? Who's first? The women are first. So the books talk about this, right? Moshe Feinstein talks about this. Rabbi Yona talks about this. Hashem puts the woman first. Because in the big picture, they play a more, this is what Moshe writes, a more important role than the men do. Because the women are the ones who start the early age chinuch of the children. And everything is built on that. You can't just start chinuch when you're 17 or 18. You have to start when you're younger, when you're little. And in most homes, it's the mothers are with the kids more when they're little. And that's why women come first, because Rav Moshe writes that in the long run, the survival of the Masora depends more on women than on men. Children learn, what is emunah? Belief in Hashem, you're believing in something beyond yourself. Yes? Out there. So the Sfarim say that the first thing that a baby believes in beyond himself is his mother. He relies on his mother for nursing, for everything. And then relying on that leads to, that's why the root of the name of a mother is Aim, and Aim expands into Emunah. You're not jumping up and down? Oh, whatever. Anyway, that's from Rav Huttner. That's from Rav Huttner's Atzah. That Aim expands into Emunah. And that's why, I mentioned this in the parenting classes, the books say, you know, people sometimes they want to leave and their kid doesn't want to come with them. He's a 4-year-old. Oh, no, I don't want to go. Right? And you have to leave. You're in a rush. So what do parents do sometimes? Bye. Bye, I'm going. Now, what happens normally? Normally, the kid runs out and comes with him. Orlowitz says, Yiharig Vayavor, never do that. Never do that. He says, you know you're not going to leave if he's stubborn. But he doesn't for sure know that. He said that's the worst thing, that a kid feels that a parent may abandon them. He says it's the worst thing. He says if you have to, if they really are stubborn, you pick them up and take them. If it comes to that. whatever consequences there are for that afterwards. But that thing, bye, see you later, and they come running with in terror. He says that's undermining the essence that kids have to learn to trust in things outside themselves, and ultimately they trust in Hashem. Anyway, men are, women are first. Next. I tempt you with Limamlechas Kwanim Begoy Kadosh. This is a famous pasuk. Yud Tes Pasuk Vav. What does Mamlechas Kwanim mean? What does Mamlechas Kwanim mean? A kingdom of priests. So who are the priests in Am Yisrael? Mamlechas Kwanim Begoy Kadosh. Who's Hashem talking to in this pasuk? Who is Hashem talking to in this pasuk? Everyone. This is a big deal. The Torah says that all of us are Kohanim. Now, we're not literally Kohanim. Literally Kohanim, they're the actual Kohanim. The Torah is saying in Yahadus, every Jew has to be holy and kadosh and learn and do the mitzvot. This is a very big deal. Havdalah and other religions, who learns? The priests do the good. And the average person does whatever he does. The Torah wants that every Jew is a Kohen on his level. It's a big deal. And that's a big topic. A kingdom of priests. Okay. Next. Here, this is it. The famous Rashi. Look in Perek Yutes Pasuk Tesvav. Okay. Perek Yutes Pasuk Tesvav. Hashem speaks to Moshe on Dalet Sivan. Says, Moshe, get ready, and on the third day I'm giving the Torah. So get ready, and when he gives the Torah on Vav Sivan. Then here it says, Moshe says, Heyu nechonim l'shloshes yamim. Prepare for 3 days. Hashem didn't say prepare for 3 days. What did Hashem say? The Torah is on the third day. See, this is the machlokas. You have to know this machlokas. The Rabbanan say that Moshe was saying the same thing as Hashem. Shlosh yamim means that on the 3 days, and the third day is the last day, that's when the Torah is going to be given. Vav Sivan. Rav Yossi says, Moshe Rabbeinu added a day. You know what the Gemara says that? Moshe says, instead of 2 days preparation, then the Torah, meaning preparing on Dalet Hay, and the Torah is on Vav, prepare Dalet Hay Vav, and the Torah is on Zion. So this is what Rashi says. Rav Yossi says, Moshe added a day, and Matan Torah was on Zion Sea. That's amazing. So Moshe Rabbeinu changed the day of Matan Torah. The Gemara says, Rashi quotes it. Okay, Hashem says to Moshe, prepare today and tomorrow, and on the third day is Matan Torah. So if you look in Rashi, you learned Rashi this week, it was Dalet Hay Sivan, and Torah is on Vav Sivan. Then Moshe says, later on, Pasuk Tezvav, prepare l'shloshes yamim. Prepare for 3 days. So Rabbanan say, Moshe meant prepare for 3 days. The third day is Matan Torah, and Matan Torah is on Vav Sivan. He meant the same thing. Rav Yossi says Moshe added a day. Prepare for 3 days. Matan Torah is tomorrow, Zion Sivan. And the Gemara explains why Moshe did that. And the Gemara says Hashem agreed to Moshe. He agreed to Moshe adding a day. So what's the idea? The idea is the tremendous power that who has?
Us.
We have. Rabbanan have tremendous power. If you follow the rules the right way, and you follow the Masorah the right way, and you follow the right way to analyze the Chumash, Hashem puts power in the hands of man. It's a very beautiful idea. That the koach that we have. You got it? It shows how highly Hashem thinks of the Jewish people and the Bali Masorah. Here's the question. What day of the week was Matan Torah? What day of the week was Matan Torah? Shabbat. How do you know it was Shabbos? Correct, because I said it 5 minutes ago. Good. Anyway, Chazal say it was on Shabbos. What day of the week did we leave Mitzrayim? We learned that.
Tuesday. It's a Machlokas. Thursday.
What day of the week? We learned this.
Wednesday, Thursday.
Okay, so the Korban Pesach was shechted on Wednesday, and we left on Thursday. That's what Chazal say. Because why is Shabbos Haggadah called Shabbos Haggadah? Because that's when they put aside the animal, and that was on the tenth of Nisan. So if it just times on Thursday, when's the first day of Sfiras Omer? When's the first day of Sfiras Omer? If we let Friday is the first day. If the first day of Sfiras on Friday, when is Shavuos?
Yeah, 50 days later.
If the first day of Sfira is on Friday,
49 days.
So it's on Friday. Day 1 is Friday. Day 8 is Friday. 15, 22, 29. Wait. 1, 8, 15, 20, 29, 36, 43, 50. The 50th day is Friday.
Another day.
The 50th day would be Shabbos.
No, guys. Okay, I did it wrong. If the first day of Sfira is on Friday, so when's the seventh day of Sfira? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Shabbos, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So Thursday's day 7. Thursday's 14, 21, 28, 35, 42, 49. 50th day is Friday. Montar was on Shabbos. That means we received, this is a good question. A great question. We received the Torah on the 51st day of Sfiras HaOmer, and we celebrate Shavuos on the 50th day. That's a good question. That's in the Magen Avraham. That's in the Magen Avraham. That's a good question. Oh! That's a good question. Is that question clear? That's a good question.
The second day is really the real day.
That's a good question. Oh, that's a good question. There are a lot of answers. So the Magen Avraham says, what Mr. Ami says, the Magen Avraham says that this is a remez to Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus. Woo! Incredible. That Hashem worked it out that the real, real Matan Torah would happen on Yom Tov Sheni. So what does that mean? So the Svarim say it means this, to show the strength of Torah Shebaal Peh, the strength of Chazal, that we celebrate Torah on Chazal's day. I'm sorry. Hashem put a remez into Matan Torah about the future Torah Shebaal Peh that Chazal are going to put in later.
Yeah, but
that's the Magen. Yeah. What do you mean? Their matter happened. Yes, we celebrate. We do. That's a good question. We do. I discussed that in my book a little bit. That's a good question. And they give all these fancy reasons. That's a fact. There's no way around it. Unless you say they left Mitzrayim on Friday, and there is one day they left on Friday, or you say they got the Torah on Friday, and there is one view they got the Torah on Friday. But those are the minority views. But the standard view is day 51, and there's no, it's a problem. And you have to give answers to that question. Yeah, so that's a question. So maybe we'll talk about it. That's a question. Why did it 51? Well, the answer is Moshe added a day. Because he wanted to. Well, who's it? Day 50. The books give different reasons.
Like, it was the first time. Like, did it just take 51 days?
To do what? That's the question. So they give different answers to that question. That's a good question. Next, Pasuk Yudches, Vayitziatzu b'tachtis har, and they stood under the mountain. Bnei Yisrael stood at the edge of Har Sinai. So what does under the mountain mean? What did Hashem do? What does Rashi quote the Medrash? Nitra shahar v'knichba kigigis. Hashem picked up the mountain and held it over them
like a barrel.
And said, accept the Torah or else. You aware of that? Hashem forced the Torah upon us. That's what this Rashi says in Pasuk Yitzayim. Ho! So Mr. Dulitz said, what? I thought we accepted it. So Mr. Dulitz's question is 1,000 years old. The Rishonim and the Gaonim asked that question. The question is, here Chazal say, God forced Torah upon us. But we said, Naseh v'nishma. That's a great question with many, many answers. That's a great question with many answers. This gives the answer that we accepted it willingly. And then what happened at Matan Torah? Hashem started talking, and then what happened? Our neshamas left, we got terrified, so Hashem had to force us to come back, because it was too much for us. The answer that Rav Soloveitchik liked to quote was, we accept the Torah Shebichsav willingly. Torah Shebaal Peh, whoa! That's a little too much. And that Hashem forced upon us. And the third answer, this is my favorite, the third answer is, We accepted it willingly. What do you mean? What do you mean? It forced upon us? The miracles were so amazing. If you're staring at Hashem, if you see, you know, the miracles of Matan Torah, and the sun, the sky is splitting, and God is talking, and you see the miracles, then basically, you can't say no. So those are three answers that they give. That's the Meshech Chachma's answer. That Hashem forced it upon us to show that it was, the miracles were so great, it was as if it was forced upon us. And then, okay, there are other answers too. Okay, we're not going to solve all the... Alright. I think we'll do one more thing, then we'll stop. In the Aseret HaDibros, Hashem says that he poked up on Avos Albanim. Sometimes Hashem judges the next generations for the sins of the fathers. Sometimes. Then it says, Oseh Chesed Lo'alafim. Hashem does good for 2,000 generations. So what do you see? That Hashem's Midah of goodness is much more than the Midah of perennials. That for negative, for punishment, it's 4 generations. And for schar, it's 2,000 generations. That's what Rashi says. He says, Nim says, Mida Tova Yeser Mida Perennius Achas Alchemeshmios, 500 times. God loves us. He wants things to be good for us. And God gives us much more reward, more reward. He punishes when he has to. But overall, Hashem, his love for the Jewish people, the Mida Tova is the stronger one. Which side of Hashem is Hashem's strong side? Kaviyachol, the right side. And the right side is the Midah of Chesed, and the left side is the Midah of Din. So that's the idea. Hashem's Chesed is the main thing, and his left side is the Din. That's what this Svarim said. Who explained that? I said it over. Anyway. So who taught us, guys? Hashem's right side is Chesed, and left side is Din. Who taught us that? No, the Zohar says it, but who explained it? Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, remember? Zatzal? Rav Aaron Soloveitchik had 2 strokes in his life. And after his first stroke, so he said he understood this Zohar. What does that mean? Because he went, after his stroke, he went to write a Dvar Torah. And he started writing, and what happened? He couldn't write properly. Why? Because when a person has a stroke, so he lost the use of the left side of his body. He couldn't use his left arm anymore. Now, we don't realize it. When you write, you're a writer, when you write with your right hand, we use our left hand. We use it for balance. We hold the paper, but for balance. So if Aaron said, oh my gosh, I'm a righty, but I still can't write normally because my left hand is out. So, you know, you play basketball, you're a righty. So most people don't just, you know, have a one-handed jump shot. So here's what Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said. Hashem's right side is chesed. Hashem's main thing is to do what? To give us things. Give us goodness. Give us everything He wants to. He wants to give, make our lives as good as possible. Sometimes we do avirus. Sometimes we don't deserve it. So Hashem has to punish us with the left hand. The purpose of the punishment is to help us get to the level to that Hashem can give us bounty with the right hand. The left hand serves the right hand and helps the right hand do its thing. The left hand helps the right hand accomplish. Hashem's left side is there to help the right side give us more and more. That's amazing. That's when you're a gadol, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, he has a stroke. He thinks of this shot in the Zohar when it comes to writing. So Hashem's right side is chesed, Hashem's left side is din. Okay.